Hello and welcome to the Listening at Warwick podcast. In this episode, John and Caroline share the three words that characterise their experiences during the pandemic, how they missed the person down the corridor, and how COVID taught old dogs new tricks.
So my name's Caroline Elliott. I'm a teaching focused professor in the economics department. I'm relatively new to Warwick. I started in September 2020. So I started in the middle of the pandemic, and I'm a Wahia fellow as well.
I'm John Goff, a senior teacher fellow at the Centre for Lifelong Learning, where I teach career studies. I've worked at Warwick for 2.5 years, but I've been associated with the place. I was even a student here as an undergraduate back in 1984. So I'll leave you to work out how old that makes me then.
I can work it out immediately because it's similar years to me.
First word was pragmatic. So we were faced with a situation where, you know, the coronavirus pandemic hit. We didn't know what was going on, what it was going to involve, how long this is going to last for. My teaching programs, it's probably worth saying, are mainly postgraduate, although I do teach on some undergraduate. And they don't follow standard academic terms, although some of the full-time courses do. And I tend to teach blended learning anyway. And I teach CPD programs. And in previous roles I've had in the sector, then I've done traditional course and course as well as blended learning. So I guess my first thought, as well as the team's, was to bring a very pragmatic approach to solving the problem, because, you know, we didn't know when we were going to be able to go back in. We had students lined up for modules that we were about to teach because our modules run all year round. So we thought, well, we've got to get on with it, really. That's a technical term, by the way. We have to get on with it. The other one was flexible. We had to look at flexible ways of working and grappling with the Teams environment, particularly, and the hoo-ha of Teams versus Zoom, and which side of the line you were. And then we were told that we couldn't use Zoom. And so there were lots of tears and so on amongst some members of the team, though not amongst me. So there's that one. So the idea of, well, what are we going to do with the time we've got? And how is this an opportunity to do things differently or enhance the ways in which we're currently doing things? Because, as I say, we do use, up until then, we've been using Skype for Business, which, without embarrassing him, Jim had been extremely helpful in helping us grapple with that. And then the final one is satisfying, because the student feedback we're getting, and I'm not trying to blow my trumpet and polish my halo or whatever it might be, is students have often come out with it with a very positive view of what we've done, and they've given us really good feedback. Particularly, I run a postgraduate award for teachers and leaders in schools as part of the, you know, the suite of things, and they've had to teach in teams as well, and they've been very complimentary about what it is we've done. So yeah, those are the three words: pragmatic, flexible, and satisfying.
So I think the difference for myself and colleagues in economics is that while people were used to using the VLE, and at Warwick, Moodle as a VLE to support teaching, it sounds as if we weren't as used to this blended approach to teaching that John was used to. So that meant that the first word would be challenge, because I think for some people it was that we were forced into a new way of working. I think for myself, it was a nice challenge, but it was still a challenge. I'd always been very interested in technology-enhanced learning. I'd introduced a number of technologies into my own teaching over the years at different institutions, and I was aware that there were some technologies I'd always thought I would like to use and hadn't got around to using. So I'd always been interested in the flipped classroom approach, but never quite got round to making those lecture recordings that students would watch before they attended a live session. So it was a challenge learning about the new technologies, thinking about what would work. And I think this was true for myself and for the department. I think there was a lot of hard work involved, and that's That would be my second word, because suddenly we moved to a situation where instead of showing up for live lectures, 1 hour a week would be pre-recorded materials, and we all had to work out the best way of making those recordings for ourselves. And we were given complete flexibility how we did that, and I think that was nice, but it meant that we all had to work out for ourselves what would work best for us individually. And then you'd hear about colleagues using other technologies, and then you'd sort of go off and research those and think, would they be better? Should I stick with what I initially planned? But then ultimately, the third word to sum up the experience would be, I've just changed my mind. I had decided which word I was going to use, and I'm going to change it. I'm going to go with rewarding, because it's really fantastic to reflect now on how far we've all come in the last 9 months. And so when I got the job, I'd not been teaching for 3.5 years, and I was so looking forward to going back to lecturing in the large lecture theatre. And I've always loved that experience. And I kept thinking, it'll be fine by September, it'll be fine by October, and then realising it wouldn't be, and actually we'd be making lecture recordings and having online lectures. And then there was that initial panic, thinking, okay, which technologies are we going to use? How are we going to create the pre-recorded materials to be as good as possible? How do we cope with an online live lecture? And now, thinking that 9 months on, it's second nature for us. And these technologies that I'd maybe put off learning about for a few years are just, they are the new normality. And thinking, wow, we've learned so much. But not only have we learned so much in the 9 months, now we're looking back with 9 months experience, but within, you know, maybe a month, this new way of working was absolutely natural. And it was one of those things whereby you just think, okay, I'm going to, you know, schedule myself to make another recording every day this week. And we just do that now, and it seems totally normal. And so to me, so John mentioned becoming an undergraduate in 1984, and I started as an undergraduate not long after John. To me, the thing that always has come to my mind all this year is that you can teach old dogs new tricks. And I love that about my job, that I've learned so many new tricks this year.
Yes, it's nice to be reminded of what it's like to learn something, because you can become a bit... what's the word? Ossified is the wrong word. But a bit, yeah, you can become a little bit fixed in stone and have a clear idea of what it is you want to do, or equally what you don't want to do. You know, oh, I'm too old for that now. You know, just you know, leave me alone. And it's interesting, without labouring this too much, is that my career is, I'm not a traditional academic. I'd worked, my last role before moving to academia was as a director of student services at a large new university. Complex management job, and very learner focused, very much concerned with the emerging ideas of the student experience in the early noughties, the impact of full fees and all that sort of stuff. And been very much concerned with value for money and justifying, you know, the kind of top off fees and then the full fees. And then moving into teaching and just seeing technology as the way to do things. And it's interesting seeing the flipped classroom malarkey, because that was what I was doing for 11 years at, when I went to Coventry, for instance. And you just had to put an online lecture on as standard, for lots of reasons, which staff didn't like at first. So it's interesting seeing the, you know, I'm not trying to say, well, I've come along and it was, and I'm sussed. What I found interesting was finding the different stages at which colleagues were at in relation to grappling with learning technologies, and the, as you would with normal course-of-cut learners, being aware of different sorts of needs and different kind of levels of confidence and capabilities, and being sensitive and aware of that, as people were tentatively, you know. So there was me running at the swimming pool, jumping off the edge of the pool and then bursting into front crawl while others still had their rubber ring around them and were sort of flicking the toe at the surface of the water. Perhaps that's not the most flattering analogy you might want to use, but it was that sort of staff here or colleagues are very worried that this is not going to work. What happens if we do this? It might not work. And I'm going live with students and they're here all day and they're paying this money and I'm going to look a fool, you know. So there's an awful lot of that, which we had to be very supportive of each other over.
So if I can just come in on that point about being supportive to colleagues, I'd come from a managerial role, so similar to John. And one thing that really impressed me when I arrived, because I arrived on the 1st of September, was that the economics department, quite a large proportion of colleagues in the department had volunteered to get involved over the summer of 2020 in putting together an ebook of resources for colleagues on how to move to online and blended learning, and giving advice on how to make pre-recorded lectures, how to do online lectures, how to do online small group teaching. And I came in at the end of this process and was amazed, because the ebook is huge, but not in a bad way, but to reflect the fact that people did have alternative ways and alternative suggestions of how to do things. And it was fantastic to join a department where colleagues had worked so closely as a large team over the summer to put together resources and seemed ahead of the Central University in the creation of these resources, recognising, as John said, that colleagues were at very different stages in terms of the use of technology. I think for a lot of us who are very experienced, we'd worked out over the years what worked for us, but it was often what worked for us in a lecture theatre or a seminar room live setting. And we had to learn again what was going to work in this new environment. But the resources that had been created were fantastic. And it is just a lovely thing to see.
Colleagues develop workarounds, which they may or may not always share and record. You just kind of do it as a natural part of it. And I think it's very encouraging that colleagues took a more systematic and coherent approach. I think what I find interesting about Warwick is it's much more decentralised than other universities I've worked in, you know, and there are pros and cons of that. But I think it might be interesting to try and propagate some of that learning broader than maybe just a faculty area. Because, I mean, I'm chatting with someone from the business school and they say, well, we use this and we use that. I said, oh, how did you find out about that particular piece of software? Oh, there was a member of staff who'd used it at a different university and they brought it kind of with them kind of thing. And it might be interesting to try and develop that in a progressive way so that, because there are such a variety of opportunities with the different software packages. But with options come issues. I mean, perhaps I'm jumping ahead, but I was headbutting the desk at one stage, figuratively, not literally, when I was using eStream at home. And then I found the students had to log into the VPN in order to access it. So I said to the student, well, you just log into your VPN. It's like, you know, what the hell is a VPN? You know, it's not working on my phone. And by the way, I can't download SPS onto my phone either. You know, students will say this, which is where we overestimate students' digital capabilities. Or like Echo 360. I found Echo 360 was working here. And then some students said, I can't open it. I said, well, why can't you open it? I said, I don't know. You know, kind of thing. And, you know, you can imagine colleagues spending an awful lot of time recording, for instance. And then they upload it and the students say, I can't open it. And it's those small but really, really, really significant aspects, which I know we're going perhaps onto the hindering, because that's when students start thinking, well, hang on a minute, you know, they've uploaded this and they're telling me it's not working. It's something I'm doing wrong. Well, I don't think I am doing it right, actually. I'm clicking on the link and it's telling me something. And then I'm being asked a question like I'm supposed to know what the answer is, you know. And when you're working with particularly postgraduate and CPD students, they're just, I'm not interested in that, you know, I'm paying the money, therefore you sort me out. I'm not saying it's quite as mercenary as that. So I think it's those really, you can have all these fantastic learning capability, technology-enabled options, But if you upload them and the students can't click and download them or get them to work, then you've almost wasted your time. It's really frustrating. And I think those small but highly significant kind of steps I've found in my day-to-day working really, really important. I don't know if you found that, Caroline, with some of the access issues to technology students.
I think quite a lot of them were addressed in this ebook that was created. I think what I noticed, and I noticed it partly because I was a new colleague, but I suspect it was true for everybody, and it goes back to what you were just saying, John, is that usually we'd be working in the office, and if there was a problem or if there was a query from a student, such as a student says, I can't get this link to work, you would just go along the corridor and you'd speak to a colleague who you know is familiar, and it may be an IT technology person, or it just may be a colleague, an academic colleague who's very confident with technology. You would just go along and just ask them, and you know, you'd find out within a few seconds because you can just talk to them in the corridor. And suddenly we can't do this because we're all working much more individually from home, and you have to send an email, and you're not sure who's the best person to send the email to, and you have to wait for a reply, and then you might be passed on to somebody else. And I think we've started to appreciate the benefits of working in the office sometimes, because it is harder sometimes to get those answers, because you can't just see someone and say, are you the right person? How do you do this? And we used to get those instant replies, which it's not been possible to do this year.
Yeah, I found that very interesting. I mean, I guess that's one of the hindering aspects, is something that could have been solved very quickly by chatting with someone about, because sometimes it's obvious, but if you don't know it, then it's not obvious, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think for the students, that's found. I found that particularly teaching the undergraduate students on research methods, and they were had to use on the 2+2 course when students were trying to download SPSS or Envivo or EndNote and whatnot. And oh, dear me. It was extremely frustrating. And of course, a lot of students at this particular time couldn't get in physically to see someone because, you know, of various lockdown. And I think that's one of the interesting aspects I've found, is how do you help students who are at a distance and you can't see what's on their screen, and they don't always understand what it is you're telling them. And I think the whole issue of digital literacy and digital capability is one that I find is often talked about, and there's an awful lot of rhetoric, and employers talk about we want digitally capable individuals. This is part of the employability platform that we're trying to develop and so on. And I think students are very savvy, but in very particular ways, whereas the software packages that we often use, I often find, are predicated on people like me who follow relatively complicated breadcrumb trails through something. Whereas a lot of software that maybe some learners are much more interested in using are far more responsive, and you know, you go straight in, and the working environment is entirely different. And that's one thing which I kind of have reflected on. I mean, I know that sounds slightly flip when students are holding out their phone and saying, can't download it, you know, and you're saying, well, I'm not surprised, it's a phone, you know, and you're saying, yeah, but I do everything through my phone, you know.
I think we probably have quite different students, because I've only been teaching third year undergraduates and MSc students this year. So even though they will all be expected to use specialist statistics software, they're already sufficiently experienced and have had a couple of years at least of experience at Warwick in terms of the undergraduate students. So I've not really found the students struggling in terms of the technologies. What's been nice is that particularly at the start of the first term, when we were all learning, and for economics academics, it was typically the first time a lot of us had used a substantial amount of blended learning, was the students at first were very forgiving, and they understood if you went into a session and said, I'm trying this for the first time. Let's see if it works. And I'm doing this because I think it will help you in this way. They were fine. And sometimes things would work. I heard sometimes from colleagues, sometimes things wouldn't work. And students would be very sympathetic and understanding. I think by the second term, they were much more expecting of good IT service, which I think is fair enough, but maybe a little bit daunting for colleagues who haven't taught in the first term.
The conversation between John and Caroline will be continued in part two, where they talk about how they learned from colleagues and with students to find workarounds that actually worked. You can find this episode alongside all our episodes discussing blended and online learning at the University of Warwick. But until then, thank you for taking the time to listen to this Listening at Warwick podcast, and we will see you next time.